You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. It was my privilege to be part of the Manning Report broadcast on January 26th and 27th, 2011. And on Friday, January the 27th, James David Manning had Dr. Jerome Corsi, who is the chief investigative reporter for WorldNet Daily, on his program, the Manning Report, for an interview regarding the birth certificate. And many people are sick and tired of hearing about the birth certificate. Why is this now big news? And I think you'll find out it is big news. And they'll cover that. But let's talk just a moment about birth certificates. Barack Hussein Obama is not the legal president of the United States. He is a fraud and usurper. The fact that he has a Hawaiian certificate of live birth means that he probably, at least 90% of the time, people who have certificates of live birth from the state of Hawaii were not born in Hawaii. His sister, born in Indonesia, and everybody knows his sister was born in Indonesia, has a Hawaiian certificate of live birth. The certificate of live birth issued by the state of Hawaii proves, more often than not, that the person was not born there. In Hawaii, anyone, parents or grandparents, can request a certificate of live birth from the state of Hawaii, which is not a birth certificate, whereby, because the parents request it, a certificate of live birth is given, where Hawaii claims this person to be a citizen of Hawaii, and the person can claim to be a citizen of Hawaii, no matter where they were born. Now, the issue of the birth certificate is really irrelevant. It could possibly be somewhere down the road that a brilliant, perfect forgery of a birth certificate could be made for Barack Hussein Obama. But that wouldn't change the issue. There is no way Barack Hussein Obama could ever be a natural-born United States citizen. Now, both newspapers who were required to publish the issuance of certificate of live birth back in the time frame when Obama was born in 1961, testified that this was a matter of course, a matter of making a record, that when someone requested a certificate of live birth, that it would be published, that this certificate was issued in the Hawaiian newspapers, so that if anybody had an objection, it could be raised. But to obtain a certificate of live birth, meaning that the person did not have a normal birth certificate when they were born in a Hawaiian hospital, could be issued to anyone simply by parents or grandparents requesting it. And the issuance of such a certification would be published as matter of record and matter of course and matter of standard operating procedure in Hawaii at that time, be published in the two major Hawaiian newspapers. So I think it's important, with the new governor in Hawaii now having to state that there is no standard long-form birth certificate for Barack Hussein Obama in the state of Hawaii records, that this becomes big news. So I want you to listen to this interview of Pastor James David Manning with Jerome Corsi, Dr. Jerome Corsi of WorldNet Daily, and understand that this certificate of live birth means that Obama was not born in the United States, just like his sister that everybody knows was born in Indonesia has a certificate of live birth. And this issue looks like it's finally gaining steam. And this makes this whole world, not just America, not just Israel, but this whole world a much more dangerous place, because this issue is the major issue of political significance in the world today.
I'm so delighted to have you on the Manning Report today, everybody. We've got Dr. Jerome Corsi, who is the number one New York Times bestselling author, and the book I read that was so fascinating and spellbinding, had me up late at night reading, was The Obama Nation. What a book. And Dr. Corsi also is the senior managing director of the Financial Services Group of Guilford Securities as well. Dr. Corsi, welcome to the Manning Report.
And Dr. Manning, it's a great pleasure to be with you. I've admired your work. We've met in person. It's great to be with you on your show.
Yeah, we have had a personal meeting a couple of years ago at a Christmas party, I think, out in someplace out in New Jersey. I can't remember when, but it was a good experience that we had.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Corsi, I've asked you to be on the broadcast today. I know you've got a number of things on your schedule, so we get right to the point of this matter. And again, first of all, I want to thank you for the work that you've done over the last few years with respect to Obama. And I am convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that were it not for your work opening up the eyes of that thorough investigation you did of Obama in your publication, Obama Nation, we wouldn't be where we are today in terms of the level of this investigation. But my question to you at this moment is that the WorldNet Daily, of which you are a senior staff writer, did an article the other day that interviewed Tim Adams, or at least had a statement and a signed affidavit by Tim Adams, who was once a clerk for the Department of Health there in the state of Hawaii, stating that his supervisors told him, this was during the 2008 campaign, that no long-form birth certificate for Obama existed. Is that what took place?
Yes, that's right. In fact, I worked with Tim Adams to get that affidavit done. Now, just to give the background, Tim Adams was a elections clerk in Hawaii, the Hawaii City and County Elections Clerk, in 2008. And in 2008, he was getting inundated. Tim Adams was a former clerk in the Hawaii and Honolulu City and County Elections Office in 2008 during the presidential campaign. And he's now signed an affidavit, and what Tim Adams is swearing to is that when he was in the Hawaii Honolulu elections office, he was being besieged by requests for Barack Obama's long-form hospital-generated birth certificate, and his supervisors came and told him that no such document exists.
Now, this was back in 2008 during the campaign before the election.
That's correct. And further, what Tim Adams swore to was that he was told by his supervisors that inquiries had been made by the Elections Commission to Queens Medical Center and Kapi'olani Medical Center. The two hospitals have both been named as Barack Obama birth hospitals, and neither hospital has any record of Barack Obama having been born in their medical facilities. So Tim Adams, an election clerk who was there, has now given an affidavit, a sworn statement, to the fact that there is no long-form hospital-generated birth certificate of Barack Obama.
Who is in possession of this this affidavit signed by former elections clerk Tim Adams? Who's in possession?
I am. I have it. I physically have it.
Now, Dr. Corsi, we all are aware, and WorldNet Daily did an article and an interview with Governor Abercrombie, who stated, going back a couple of weeks now, that he wanted to clear up this matter.
That's correct.
In his state regarding Obama's long-form birth certificate, and he went on a gubernatorial powers search for this long-form birth certificate. And what was the result of that? Because I believe WorldNet Daily published an article about that an interview with Governor Abercrombie as well. Is that right?
It was Governor Abercrombie refused to talk with us, but I wrote the article, and what happened was the governor gave an interview to the Honolulu Star Advertiser, in which he made clear, because Governor Abercrombie came into office. He's a longtime friend of Barack Obama, and said that he was going to come in and put the birthers to shame. He was going to find the documents using the power of the governor, and he was going to make sure the world saw the long-form hospital-generated birth certificate. Well, lo and behold, after he's in office for a few weeks, Governor Abercrombie can't find the document. All he can find is a notation, a record in one of the state archives that Barack Obama was born in Hawaii. As I pointed out many times in articles I've written, the Hawaii accepts that the grandparents came in and just gave a verbal statement saying this child was born in Hawaii. That would be sufficient in Hawaii to get a Hawaiian birth certificate. That's why Barack Obama, I believe, has the certification of live birth, the short form. And by the way, the address in the newspapers, a birth announcement published at the time, was the grandparents' address. So I've always believed the grandparents went in and made that statement. It would have resulted in a notation. But the critical piece of information here is that the governor, using the powers of the office of the governor, had to admit he cannot find the long-form hospital-generated birth certificate for Barack Obama.
Well, did not Dr. Fukimo, who was the director of the Department of Health for the state of Hawaii, state emphatically that there was a long-form birth certificate and that she had seen it and that it was in the archives or the vital records department of the Department of Health? Did not she say that at least going back a year or so ago now?
As I'm sure you know, Dr. Manning, that what Dr. Fukino, the head of the Hawaii Department of Health, and then the governor, the Republican, Linda Lingle, said in their statements was that they had reviewed the birth documents on file in the Hawaii Department, and they were willing on that basis to say that Obama was born in Hawaii. They did not say, and this is very important, they did not say that they had seen the long-form hospital-generated birth certificate. So because of that, the documents on file in Hawaii may all say that Barack Obama was born in Hawaii, but if those documents resulted from the grandparents just coming in and making a statement and filing and registering the birth, the grandparents could have registered a foreign birth on foreign soil, and the Hawaii Department would have accepted it then, and the Hawaii Department would still accept it today.
Well, Dr. Corsi, I know that you've been out to Hawaii. You were out there a year or so ago completing your investigation, and you've given us some critical information today regarding the newspaper birth announcement trailed back to the address that was used by the grandparents. It was their address, not some other address, possibly the address of Stanley Ann Dunham, either her college address or the address of what could have been Barack Obama Sr. But my question to you now, since you're in possession of this affidavit, we've got all these historical statements coming from high-level officials in the Hawaiian government. In your investigation, have you found anyone at any time that has come forward as a doctor or a nurse or an orderly, hospital administrator or janitor or midwife, anyone who says that they were witness to perhaps the most important birth in Hawaii in its entire life? Anyone at all about Obama's birth?
No one, Dr. Manning, has come forward and said that they were present or attending physician or medical personnel at Barack Obama's birth. In fact, I hired a private investigator when I was in Hawaii, in Honolulu, in 2008, before the election, after I had written The Obama Nation. Was number one New York Times bestseller when I was out there in Hawaii. And the private investigator came back. Look, the people were willing to pay lots of money. Private investigator came back and said, there is no long-form hospital-generated birth certificate from Obama in any Hawaii hospital. There's no record of Hawaii in Hawaii of in any hospital that Barack Obama was born here. In fact, his mother, Ann Dunham, was never a patient in any Hawaiian hospital.
Boy, that's thorough. This is overwhelming, this evidence. You also traveled to Kenya.
Yes.
I was very concerned because I heard a report flash on the news that was on all the major news networks that you have been detained in Kenya during your investigation of Obama's birth there. If you could give us a little bit of detail about that, because I wasn't sure exactly what happened, what they did to you. And then, of course, reading the Obama Nation, I was able to get a clear understanding of the Luo tribe and all of Obama's cousins and, you know, and all that crowd over there. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened in the detention, and what did you find out about his birth in Kenya when you investigated there as well?
Well, Dr. Manning, I was detained on the last day I was going to give a press conference in Kenya and talk about Barack Obama's relationship to Odinga, who is now the prime minister, a very shady character, one who has supported Islam in Kenya, engaged in supporting violence in order to get himself to be prime minister after he lost the presidential election in December 2007. I also had information, I was detained, they did not want me presenting this in Kenya, that the grandmother had said that Barack Obama was born in Mombasa in Kenya, and that she was present at the birth. I had the tape of that reviewed by Kenyan-speaking native speakers.
Right, right.
Swahili, the various dialects, and English.
Right.
And they said she insisted, despite people there trying to change her story, she insisted that Barack Obama was born in Mombasa and she was present. Now, also, Dr. Manning, I've caused my book Obama Nation caused a lot of the trouble. This is other books I have. I've got a new book coming out called Where's the Birth Certificate? It will be out in May this year, May 2011. It's WorldNet Daily published, WND. You can see it. It's on the WND Superstore right now. It's on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. You can see the cover. People can order it in pre-publication. And I will be, when that book comes out, I'm going to release a good deal more of the information I've got.
All right. Okay.
From Kenya. But the bottom line is, the Kenyan government actually continues to celebrate Kenya as the birthplace of Obama and has done that. And the investigations were made of what the grandmother said, and the Kenyan government cannot rule out that Barack Obama was born in Kenya.
So in effect, the only living witness, anyone that has ever testified to where Obama was born, was Obama's grandmother, and her
Correct.
Testimony was that he was born in Mombasa. Nobody from Hawaii can testify that they have witnessed his birth, but we do have one witness yet living who understood the pressures applied to her trying to get her to change her statement, as you have outlined, but she is sticking to her guns. He was born in Mombasa.
That's correct. And I think now, especially after the developments of the last few days, it's very important to understand that this Governor Abercrombie, Neil Abercrombie, first of all, I want people to really understand who he is. He's a 60s hippie. He was known for his anti-Semitic statements around the campus at the University of Hawaii. He was anti-war in the 60s. He was a friend of Barack Obama's father. And Neil Abercrombie, when he took office, very leftist, he was a former congressman. When he came in, he's a longtime friend of Barack Obama Jr., the president. Neil Abercrombie took office just in the last few weeks in Hawaii as the new governor, and he said he was going to use the power of the governor, he was going to embarrass and put an end to the birthers, because he would release the birth documents that prove Barack Obama Jr., the president, was born in Hawaii. And now we know that Neil Crombie cannot find the long-form hospital-generated birth certificate of Obama, and I'm convinced it does not exist.
I am as well. Let me just backtrack for just a moment. When your new book comes out, Where's the Birth Certificate, we would be so honored if you would be one of the first interviews here on the Manning Report that we might further, because I have a very interested and large audience of people in this matter, and they know you quite well.
Well, we'll make sure I'm one of the first. You're one of the first interviews. I've got a great respect for what you've accomplished and done, Dr. Manning, and I'll do anything possible to support your work.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate that greatly. Now, just a couple more questions. Number one is, should not there be, since Governor Neil Abercrombie was unable to find a long-form birth certificate, and of course, as an elected official, and anybody with half a brain would recognize that there should be one. about the most important, the most powerful man on the planet right now, and yet there's no record of his birth in the state he alleges to have been born. Should not a criminal investigation be launched, or are this matter just going to be swept under the rug?
I don't think it's going to be swept under the rug, Dr. Manning, because we're enough people now are aware of the problems. You've done great work. I continue with WND to work on this issue and write about it. Others do. We now have, we're reporting that there are 10 states in the process of passing laws that the president, candidate for president to get on the ballot in 2012 will have to submit birth credentials to the Secretary of State to prove not just that the person's a citizen, but the more restrictive definition of a natural-born citizen under the terms of Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution. And it will not just be the issue of whether Barack Obama has a long-form hospital-generated birth certificate. It's whether he was a dual citizen with his father's citizenship in Kenya at birth. Barack Obama was a dual citizen of the United States and the Commonwealth of Great Britain. He may have well been a citizen of Indonesia, which would have compromised his natural-born status.
Right, absolutely.
If these 10 states, with over 100 electoral votes, demand to see Barack Obama's birth certificate, long-form birth certificate, and other birth credentials, I think Barack Obama is going to have a very hard time running for re-election. And if it becomes, look, I'm an investigative reporter documenting. I hold no grievance to Barack Obama. And I'm happy to believe he was born in Hawaii, but I'm like Ronald Reagan. I want to trust and verify. And I can't see any reason that I can figure out why I shouldn't, and the American people shouldn't, see the long-form hospital-generated birth certificate. Barack Obama says he was born in Kapi'olani Hospital. Fine, let's see the documentation that proves that.
Let me ask you one further question, or two further questions. One is, I think that you stated that because perhaps the grandparents could have registered a foreign birth, then it would have been noted, not necessarily recorded in the Vital Records Department. But does that give authentic reasoning to a certificate of live birth? Because, I mean, if he wasn't born there, then the certificate of live birth posted on his website and factcheck.org would be a forgery.
Well, in fact, the Hawaii Department fails to authenticate that document. They will not authenticate. I've called them on myself. They will not say that the Hawaii Department of Health issued the short-form certification of live birth that is on Barack Obama's website. But the truth is, Dr. Manning, that Barack Obama has can only show that certification of live birth really proves that he does not have a hospital-generated long-form birth certificate, because in 1961 and today, the only people who get those certifications of live birth are when the parents come in, or the grandparents, or the family, and say, this child was born at home, or this child was, you know, born somewhere else but is Hawaiian because the family's Hawaiian, and they issue a certification of live birth in lieu of the long-form hospital-generated birth certificate, and that becomes the only documentation of Hawaiian birth, which is, again, based on testimony, and the testimony could have been self-serving when the family knows that the baby wasn't born in Hawaii, but they still want the baby to be a U.S. citizen and a Hawaii citizen, and they say so anyway. Hawaii does not have an investigative unit in the Department of Health, and they have procedures for allowing people to come in and register births in person, and they never check to see if the people are lying.
So I could say I was born in Hawaii. All I have to do is just walk in and say it, and they'll give me a certificate, or at least allow one.
Dr. Bettig, as I point out in the book, and I'll write this in WorldNet Daily as well, in my book, Where's the Birth Certificate? I devote a section of it. Hawaii gave a certification of live birth to Sun Yat-sen, who was the Chinese nationalist leader. Because in the 20s and 30s, Sun Yat-sen didn't want to have been born in China, so he got people in China to give affidavits that he was born in Hawaii, and Hawaii gave him a certification of live birth.
Final question, Dr. Corsi, and thank you so very much for the interview. Well, two parts. This question, number one is, And I'd like to be able to post this interview up on YouTube and keep it archived in our...
You have my permission.
Thank you so very much for that. Now, where do you think all this is going? And then I'll let you get back to your duties. What do you think the American people are going to do about this? I mean, I know that Arizona is close to legislating that you must demonstrate you're natural born, and you've mentioned 9 other states as well. Where do you think this is going to go? And I'll let you have the last word on that.
Well, Dr. Manning, look, I've said from the beginning, I'm an investigative reporter. My experience is that presidents, or those aspiring to be president, who lie to the American people or withhold documents, it's very ill-advised. My example of that is Richard Nixon.
Yes.
It took 2 years. The Watergate burglary occurred in June 1972. Richard Nixon won a landslide election. But by August of 74, he resigned in disgrace when reporters for the Washington Post, also demonized and abused by the Republican Nixon White House at that time, continued to investigate. When the American people find out in the final analysis they're lied to, Barack Obama's maintained that he was born in Hawaii, and he was not born in Hawaii. Barack Obama's not a natural-born citizen because he was a citizen of Indonesia when he was a child, or a citizen of the Commonwealth of Great Britain when he was born. If there's a lie told here, the American people will hold Barack Obama responsible for the lie, and the outcome will not be favorable to Barack Obama. He may, like Richard Nixon, have to resign when the truth comes out, and I think it'll be very hard for him to run for re-election. Barack Obama, if the truth comes out, the American people will demand justice and respect to the Constitution. And I believe, even if it means that the last 2 years are invalidated, if we have a constitutional crisis of unprecedented magnitude, the American people are strong enough to handle that, because the truth is what matters, not anything else when you come to the highest office of the land and the presidency.
Yes.
And
yes.
Barack Obama would be well advised, even at this late date, to start telling the truth and showing the documents.
Yes. 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 Well, Dr. Corsi, thank you so very much. Your writings and your investigative reporting and work has been extraordinary, and we as the American people are greatly blessed to have you on our side. Thank you so very much for the interview today. Take care,
Dr. Manning, great honor and pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, everybody, that was Dr. Jerome Corsi of the number one best-selling book, Abomination, and has a new book to be released shortly, and has promised to be on the Manning Report again when that book is released. We thank him so very much for his input today. All right, it's time for the Trust in the Lord segment. We missed our news break. It's time for us to go into the period of trusting in the Lord. And I think that, I'm going to have Jim Searcy, Pastor Jim Searcy, is going to give an expose again on the book of Isaiah, which would not be a teaching about trusting in the Lord and as a general theme and topic. And it's been in my heart to share the opportunity that with him to have talk with you today or teach you today, and he'll be coming up shortly. But before he does, I certainly want to say to people that I have been, as led by the Lord, encouraging people to put their trust in God, to move to the next level. And faith in God is good. Everybody knows without faith, it's impossible to please him. He just ain't going to be happy with you if you don't have faith in him. But I want to encourage everyone in this day and time, the bunker that we need to be in spiritually now is the bunker of ultimate trust in God. And let me tell you why. What's happening in our world today, there are so many things that are capturing the attention. There are so many powers that are being manifest. Let's say, for instance, just the whole idea of what's happening with the snowstorms, the dead birds, the dead fish, the dead cows, the dead seals, the dead crabs. I mean, when you look at this and you say, well, perchance it's just climate going amok, or God himself punishing the earth, or man manipulating the climate, we don't know. So what you have to do in a state like that is that you have got to trust God. What has the Lord said? Well, you may not know all of his word, but you do know that the Lord said these kinds of things would come to pass. So we got to trust him. And in order, and when you find yourself in the midst of a circumstance, maybe on your job or in your home or somewhere where you just don't know what the truth is, you don't know what the outcome is, and people are certainly not to be trusted, your only defense now is to trust in God. So the bunker that we need to all be in this 21st century tribulation period, or this time when the church has gone, I mean, many people argue that churches that are doing all these things they're doing today are indeed serving the will of God. The Catholic Church, though it's got all of its problems, yet is God blessing it and serving the will of God. And there's confusion. I mean, there's confusion everywhere. And God is not the author of confusion. I'm going to tell you now that every person, even a little child, would be able to clearly understand the will of God and the mind of God in this day and time in which we live, except for the fact that this confusion is being pervaded by Satan, because God is not the author of confusion. So what do we do? How do you find peace? How do you find purity? How do you find love? How do you be assured of victory in the midst of the most confusing time that the world has ever witnessed, is what we're living in now? You do that by trusting God. I just know that my Redeemer liveth. That's what Job said. Job, and I don't mean to harp on him, because a lot of people use him and perhaps use him, they overuse him, and they use him the wrong way. But I gotta say this to you. Job faced a horrific situation in his life. And in the midst of all the confusion, the death of his family, the loss of his income, the loss of his reputation, the loss of his health, I mean, the loss of his name, the loss of his wife, in the midst of all of that, he stated, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the land of day, I'm going to see him. I can't see him now. So I think that the one thing that when we put our trust in God, we put our trust in God. First of all, we give ourselves to him. We become a blessing to him. We become a miracle for him. We become a blessing and a mighty work for him. That's number one. But number two is that we fully and completely understand now whatever we have need of, he will provide. If whatever we have need of, and there may be times when there will be a sense that we got to wait on God. Trusting in the Lord does not mean that you don't ever have to wait. Sometimes you got to wait. The provide, the supply, and everything is coming forward. But you, if you trust him, I know that Jesus is Lord, everybody. I know that. I know it. And I will not shut up, not stop telling you. I know that he is. I'm not confused about any other religion or any other people or person. I know that Jesus is Lord. And that's where my trust lies. So, my friends, I got to tell you that, you know, there is the whole sense about the rapture, there is the judgment seat of God, but we are now in a period where the bunker mentality, the high tower, the tabernacle of God, the wings of God that protects us is called trust. This is the bunker. That's the bunker you need to be in. That is the protection. That's the armor you need to put on. Now, everybody need to be walking around trusting God, no matter what the world is saying or doing or what anybody else is doing, and no matter what's happening with you, still I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in the Lord. And in that you're going to find the treasures of joy, gladness, victory, love, peace, and your love for Almighty God will intensify. All right, so that's my little introduction today, all right? And I think that what I want to do now is go ahead and And let you listen to Jim Searcy. Now, Jim Searcy, more sure word ministry out in Cyprus. We played a part of his statements yesterday. It was too long for the entire broadcast, so we're going to play the other half of it today. And then afterwards, I'll be back with some closing comments as we wrap up this day here, you and I together. go ahead and roll this, the tape of Jim Searcy. Now, this is not a theme of trusting in the Lord per se, but it's an exegetical statement regarding the book of Isaiah.
Hearken unto me. Listen. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heaven, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever. Hallelujah. And my righteousness shall not be abolished. Listen to God. Hearken. Hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. His name is Jesus. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law. By his Spirit. When we're born again, he writes that law in our heart. See, that's what was wrong with the old covenant. God didn't make a bad covenant. Everything God ever did is perfect. Fault was found with the heart of the people, and if we're truly born again, he puts this law in our heart. Hearken unto me. Listen to God. Ye that know righteousness, you know Jesus. You know Yeshua. You know salvation. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men. Don't worry what these reprobates want to do. Fear ye not the reproach of men. Neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Count it as a merit badge. Count it as one of the jewels in the crown that we'll cast at the feet of our King. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake! Awake! Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. Undesired. Hallelujah. I can't wait to the day that I can sing good. Hallelujah. I like to sing, but I am smart usually to sing on the inside. Therefore, but we're all going to be singing when we make our way into the big church of the firstborn. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy, get this, child of God, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. God said so. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Don't look for comfort anyplace else. You need comfort? Yeah, we do. You need comfort, and I need comfort. I, this is God talking, I, the I am, I, even I am he that comforts you, Yeshua, Jesus, his Spirit, the Comforter. I, even I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that I should be afraid of a man that shall die? Fear no man. Just ask him. Who do you think you are that I should be afraid of you? You're going to die. And what comes after your death ain't a pretty picture. Who do you think you are
that I should be afraid of you. I'm not afraid of any man. I'm afraid of God, big time.
He said, don't be afraid of those who can kill your body, and after that, that's all they can do to you. I'll tell you who you should fear, though, and you better fear him. You better get some more fear of him. Fear him who, after he kills you, can put your soul into hell. I tell you, Jesus said, you fear him. And see, this is the issue. We fear God, right? We don't have any other fear. Because he is the I am. I, even I, am he that comforts you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that stretches forth the heavens, that laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? All the fury of the oppressor put together couldn't make a pimple on the fury of God Almighty. And his fury is about to come up in his face. You know this and I know this. The mountains of Israel, where they want to make a Palestinian state. God has said, when we see that, that will cause his fury to come up in his face. The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divideth the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth. That's what we want to speak, isn't it? His words. And I have put my words in thy mouth. And I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. Nobody can take you out of the Father's hand. Now you can walk. If you want to be dumb enough to walk, he'll let you walk. That's why it's such a fearful thing to fall into the hands of living God. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, thou art my people. God said so. Are you a Zionist? You better be. If you're not a Zionist, something's very wrong with your picture. The only God is the God of Zion. And I say unto Zion, thou art my people. He identifies himself with his people. And if you're not a Zionist, something wrong with your picture. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? This is Israel's situation today. Look at the leadership that they have had since they've been a nation. Awake. Awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction and famine and by the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? It rings in my mind the double imperative command of the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received at the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again, but I will put it in the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down that we may go over, that thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as a strip to them that went over. Hallelujah. If God be for you, who can be against you? And if you got God behind you, don't worry about retreating. It doesn't make any difference who the enemy is or how formidable. Stand.
Before the Lord in prayer, will you unite with me? And Lord Jesus, we want to acknowledge you as our Lord and as our Savior, as our very present help in the time of trouble, as very and most high God, you and you alone, a maker, creator, sustainer. giver of every good and perfect gift, and we know it. And there ain't no doubts about it. And anybody who raises their voice in opposition is just outright lying. But Lord, you promised us, and your promises cannot be broken. Gold can be broken with enough pressure. Platinum can be broken. Iron can be broken. The will of men can be broken. But your promises, Lord, your promises cannot and shall not be broken. And for that, Almighty God, we are trusting. We're trusting. We are trusting. We're trusting Jesus. Because we know that your word cannot be broken. You spoke and said that both heaven and earth will and shall and can pass away, but not one jot nor one tittle of your word shall pass away, and it shall stand. And for that, Almighty God, we're giving you the praise. And we're asking you, Jesus, that we're asking you, Lord, that you would allow us the privilege to tell the world what we have found out, that your promises can never be broken. We're asking you for that. Just give us the privilege, Lord, and we'll tell it wheresoever we go. And then finally, Lord, before we finish here today, we want to say that you have promised us that there is coming a time where we're going to be in a land where we don't ever grow old, and that's a good thing. But you also promised us, Lord, that there's coming a time when there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sickness. The hospital wards, the sick beds, the nursing homes, the places where people go and sit beside their loved ones who are suffering, where diseases have run through their bodies and are tearing apart their vital organs and making their mobility of none effect and causing them to languish in pain and under heavy sedation of medication. Sometimes it wears off before the doctors are able to get there, and the pain comes back. You have promised us, you promised us, that the day will come when we'll never go through that again. We'll never have to watch our bodies rot or the bodies of our loved ones rot again. But you also promised us peace, Lord, that we'll never have to face again another day where our hearts are troubled and our minds are disturbed. And the biggest question of all is, why is it that the righteous suffer when the wicked seem to be having such a wonderful time? Why is it that those who claim and remain steadfast to all that you've taught and have walked the narrow way seem to bear the brunt of suffering and hurt and confusion, and yet the wicked seems to rejoice? We take comfort in the day, then we know that it's coming, that this too will no longer be. So we're looking forward to that day and that time. We thank you, Jesus, for our opportunity here today to have had this broadcast. And we ask Almighty God that you would cause your grace and your power, your mercy and your anointing to rest upon all that have heard. Protect them and lead them and guide them. Give them peace. Give them a purity of mind and bless them with treasures of delight as they continue to go forward. Let them love and be loved, and let them know that they're never defeated and always victorious. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Vaya con Dios, everybody. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. May the peace of Almighty God, which passeth all understanding, preside over all your prayer concerns, your family, and your financial matters. May the same peace watch over your down-sitting and your uprising. And if you haven't said it with me, let's say it together in two-part harmony now, three-part harmony. Boom shakalaka goes right there. And until you and I are able to meet again, my friend, peace out.
America, land of freedom.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.